Chodesh Tov, everybody. So great to see you and be here together on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. As we celebrate this special day, Rosh Chodesh, and we're here for Chag Shavuot, as Zemira was talking about, Matan Torah, I'd like to focus our shiur today on the experiences that we had at Har Sinai and share some hidden messages that the Torah is trying to tell us from our stories about Har Sinai. We know that Mamad Har Sinai was a monumental, memorable experience. And when we think about this experience of Mamad Har Sinai, what images come up for you? That's our first chat question, right? What images come up when you think of this experience, when you think of standing around Har Sinai? If you could just write in one word, what do you imagine? What do you think of? Right, it's a big sensory overload for most of Am Yisrael. What pops up? You just write one word. What pops up for you when you think of Mamad Har Sinai? A powerful experience, yeah. What elements did Hashem use in this powerful Mamad Har Sinai experience that we had? Don't be shy. There's a feeling, right? We're talking about feelings here. We have a feeling of awe and the feeling of the power completely. Yeah, it was a very intense experience. Good, thunder and lightning, thank you. There's thunder and lightning. We had the sound of the shofar, right? We think of the cloud, we think of the smoke, we think of fire. We have all these elements and it was really intense. It was frightening, thank you, frightening. It was an awe-filled experience and definitely a powerful one that stayed in our mind as a nation and as individuals until this day. Right? That's how we're meant to connect to Har Sinai. So let's look at the psukim and see how they describe really the Har Sinai experience. So we look at source number one, we have it Shmot Perek Yetet. Right? We're standing around Har Sinai. And in Pasuk Tet, we'll see Hashem says to Moshe, he's going to come Ba'av Ha'anan, right? And within this cloud to come and give the Torah and reveal himself, really, it's Galut Hashem to Am Yisrael. And we have this description starting in the third paragraph in Pasuk Tet Zayin. In the bold, we have the Kolot of Rakim, right? The thunder and lightning that was mentioned. We have Anan Kaved Alahar, this big cloud. We have the Kol Shofar, the sound of the shofar. Chazak Ma'od, it was loud, it was intense. Ve'charad Kol Ha'am, we were trembling, right? Everyone, Asher B'machaneh, we were all really feeling this intense experience. And the description continues. We go in Pasuk Yechad, Vahar Sinai Ashan Kulo. It's filled with smoke. It's almost like billowing with smoke, and it's like a volcano of smoke, right? The smoke isn't from the fire. The fire is a different fire than what we know. But Ashan Kulo, Mipnei Asher, why? Yarad Alav Hashem Ba'esh. Hashem comes down in fire, right? And the fire, the Ashan is coming up like Ashan HaKibshan, like a furnace, a furnace of smoke. V'cherad kol ahar, the mountain itself is shaking, is trembling in this experience of experiencing the divine, of feeling it's Galut Hashem, right? And the kol shofar again in Yotel we have is very loud. It's very intense. Wow. We see from this section, we have all these elements, right? It's really overwhelming. We have all these different elements. And fire seems to be, when you first look at it, seems to be one of many elements within this story. But if we pay attention, we see Yarad Alav Hashem Ba'esh. Hashem appears in fire. We have all these other elements which are there to kind of accompany, to create a dramatic effect. When we think, how is Hashem choosing to appear to Am Yisrael? Hashem is choosing to appear in the form of fire. Hashem doesn't need to appear in any form, right? Hashem wants to communicate something to us when Hashem chooses to use this element of fire. And that's going to be the focus of the shiur today, how Hashem chooses to reveal himself, to have a physical manifestation of Hashem in this world, and what the meaning is in that, and the messages that we can take, Bezrat Hashem, for that. So we see the central theme of fire. When we look in other sources of Mamad Har Sinai, we see it even more. So we're going to continue looking at this iconic scene of Matan Torah in source number two, in Shmot, Perek Chaf Dalet. We have another scene describing this Mamad Har Sinai experience, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to the Har, to Har Sinai. And again, we have this Anan, this idea of the cloud is emphasized, right? And it's there for 6 days. And Hashem calls out by Yikra'al Moshe in the end of Pasuk Yud Zayin on the seventh day from the cloud. And Pasuk Yud Zayin we have in yellow, in bold, Umarek Vod Hashem Ke'esh Ochelet Barosh Hahar. How is Hashem revealed? Ke'esh Ochelet, as this consuming fire, Again, we have that intensity, this frightening experience, but we have the fire. And perhaps one can question this idea of the Anan and the Esh coming together. It's something that we see many places, including in the Amudan and Amudesh, including in the Mishkan. As Mira talked about the Mishkan, we have the Anan and we have the Esh. We have it in the Beit HaMikdash. We have many places where we have this duality. And it's perhaps can be another interesting shir to discuss the role of both. But I think we can say that the Anan, the cloud, can offer some kind of buffer, right? Some kind of concealment to make it a little bit less intense, right? We know that from our day-to-day, you're outside, it's a really hot day, and the sun is bearing down on you, and suddenly, there's a relief. The sun is still there, it's still warm, and it's still sunny, but the clouds just passed over the sun, right? I had that yesterday. Finally, the heat wave has ended, thank God. And we walked, and there was a breeze, and suddenly the cloud moved over the sun, and it was so cool and nice. The sun is still there, right? The fire is still there. The Anan is perhaps a sign for us. It mitigates the intensity, but it's something to keep in mind. We have these two elements. The main focus, when I'm talking about Ma'amad Har Sinai, though, is the fire. We see in bold, in yellow, and we'll continue to see in sources number 3 and 4, which are in Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Am Yisrael, Me'ever HaYarden, and describing, reminding us of this Ma'amad Har Sinai experience. So if we look in source number 3, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, remember what you experienced on Har Sinai, right? And he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Tukervun v'ta'amdun tachat ahar, we came and stood under the mountain, v'har bo'er ba'esh, ad leiv ha'shamayim. And then we have this description kind of tangentially almost, choshech anan v'arafel. These sort of buffers were there. There was a sense of darkness to obscure the intensity of the fire, but the fire, ha'har bo'er ba'esh, the mountain is mamash lit up in fire. And in Pasuk Yud Bet, even more so, how does Hashem communicate, reveal himself to us? By Deber Hashem Alecha mitoch ha'esh, through the fire. We see the element of fire is the main focus. As much as we have all these elements, and some of us remember the kol shofar, right? The sound of the shofar, the lightning, and the thunder, and those are all important elements that were there to add dramatic effect, to add to the experience. The main element that we're focusing on, and that we see the psukim really focus on when you see them all together, is the element of fire, right? And we see it even as well in source number 4. We're scrolling down with the source sheet in source number 4, in Perek Hay of Devarim, which is a continuation, right? We just were in Perek Dal, now we're in Perek Hay, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, what happened? In Pasuk Dalet, Panim Bifanim Diber Hashem Imachem, we had this really personal experience, the way Moshe Rabbeinu had with Hashem. We know that description, panim b'fanim. So we had that. We had that with Hashem at Har Sinai. We had this amazing closeness, this divine revelation. And what does it say in Pasuk Daled? What are the words highlighted? Mitoch ha'esh, through the fire. The fire. And we don't see other definitions in this parak, in source number 4, describing the thunder and lightning, because that's less relevant. That's less the focus. We have the fire, mitoch ha'esh. And again, in Pasuk Hey, what happened? Moshe is reminding us, we were afraid, yaretem mipnei ha'esh, because that's the true revelation of Hashem, is through the fire. In Pasuk Kaf, v'hikesham echem etakol mitoch ha'choshech, we heard the sound of Hashem, his voice, through the darkness, right? We have the choshech and the cloud, and these elements to create this buffer, as we said, this sort of mitigate the intensity. V'ha'har, again, bo'er ba'esh, again, is on fire. Right, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hashem revealed us, et kvodo, in yellow, it's in highlighted, et kvodo, vet kolo, vet et kolo shamanu, how? Mitoch ha'esh. Right, and we said to Moshe, what are we going to do? Lama namut, ki tochlenu ha'esh ha'gdola hazot, in Pasuk Chaf Bet, we're terrified, it's going to consume us. Right, that's how we described it earlier, it's a consuming fire, it's so intense, we're terrified. And in Pasuk Chaf Gamal continues, ki micho basar esh reshama kol elokim chayim, medaber mitoch ha'esh. So Hashem is speaking through the fire. We see it's repeating itself over and over, this element of fire. We counted here from these 4 sources, at least 10 times we have the word Esh. We have the focus on this element of fire. So this is a clear theme chosen by the Torah, by Hashem, to choose to manifest himself to Am Yisrael, to us, in the form of fire. We even see this in an earlier scene in the same place on Har Sinai. Just as a side point, who can think of an earlier scene? Thank you very much. I see Harvey Mandenbaum, wrote exactly what I'm about to say. Thank you so much, source number 5, red fire was also the first way Hashem revealed himself to Moshe. Thank you so much. Exactly. So in source number 5, we have the Sneboer, the famous scene of Moshe's first revelation. Moshe's first revelation is on Har Sinai, and you have there as well this element, of course, of fire, right? And the Malach Hashem is how was who spoke, where Hashem comes in different ways to in Nevuah, and one of them is the Malach Hashem. So Moshe's first revelation was by Malach Hashem. It's really Hashem revealing himself in Labat Esh. So as much as we sometimes think about the Sneboer, the burning bush, and we have this idea of, oh no, what happened? The thorn bush was on fire, but it didn't get destroyed by the fire. That's like a science question. But really, the main focus is the Labat Esh. Hashem revealed himself through fire, right? V'inyasne bo'er ba'esh. So in Pasuk Bay, we have 2 times again this fire focus. So really, we see, I hope that's convincing. I hope I've convinced you that fire is the main way Hashem, in this divine way, wants to reveal himself to us. So certainly the Torah is speaking to us directly and wants to send us a message. So if you want to drop a few lines on the chat, what might be the meaning of the fire? Why is this repeated so often? We have 10 times in these 4 scenes, this idea of fire, fire. Why does Hashem choose to reveal himself in this element of fire? What do we think of when we think of fire? It could be your own personal association. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just for us to connect to the Torah, we have to personalize it. So what do we think of when we think of fire? I mean, I think of my cooking on the stove and my 1.5-year-old comes over and wants to play with the knobs. And I say, no, fire is dangerous. Move away. It's not good. No. And I warn her to move back. Right? Any other things you could think of? Fire. And when you light Shabbos candles, you think of the fire. Always dancing fire, moving upwards. I'm looking to see if anybody chimed in here on the chat. Right, we think of fire needing fuel. Fire is intense, it can't be controlled, thank you. Yeah, right, it's a danger there. For sure, we're gonna see that. Talked about, fire needs fuel, right? It needs oxygen, it needs something to burn, right? Illuminating, thank you so much. Yes, we think of Lag BaOmer, definitely. Definitely, which also reminds me of the can't be controlled and it's intense. And why this year was very nice on our street. We had someone very talented who made balloons into the shape of fire. And it was very safe. And everybody said, maybe next year we'll just keep this Madura that'll be out of balloons without all these fires all around the yeshuv. Yes, wonderful. Fire is beneficial to us. We use fire to cook food, right? It can create heat. It's illuminating. It gives us light. It can give us heat. Amazing. Thank you. Candle lighting is very spiritual. You love watching the flame, beautiful, reaching up to heaven. Amazing. So you already have this, your neshama is connecting to the fire, and you already have a spiritual connection. Thank you so much for sharing that. Definitely. Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, we have an innate connection to this. We have an affinity towards the fire and this duality of it being scary and dangerous, but we also can be mesmerized by it. And that's part of the message. All these things are wonderful answers. Thank you so much for chiming in here. I really appreciate it. So source number 6, we'll see in the Midrash, we have the Mechilta, is going to explain to us one opinion, one idea of how we can associate with this fire, this revelation of Hashem through fire. Right? V'har Sinai Hashem Kulo. Right? Why? Mipnei Ma. Why was this the whole fire, the whole mountain was covered in this smoke? Right? Why Kulo? Why all of it? Mipnei Ma. Mipnei Hashem Yirad Alav Hashem Ba'esh. Hashem revealed himself in fire. Magid Shehat Torah Esh. Torah is fire. Ume'esh nitana. It was given through fire, as we just saw. And it's compared to fire. How is it compared to fire? Ma darka shel esh. What's the way of how fire works? She'im karev adam etzla nichveh. Right, we know this. It's dangerous. If you go too close, you could get burned. How many of us have gotten burned cooking? Just the hot oil splatters. Or just you get your finger on the tray when you're pulling something out, checking if your cake is ready. Right, and that's just the heat. I mean, Chalila, fire is very, very dangerous. We can get burnt. But what happens? Rachek meman, you go too far away, you'll be cold. Kiilu, right? Ela la adam, ela litchamem keneged ora. As we wrote, right, it gives us heat. We have 2 elements here. Litchamem, to get warmed. Keneged ora. Ora is light. So we have elements of light and heat, this warmth, this light. We need to be conscious of the danger, But we know not to get too far away either, because you're going to miss out on some this amazing potential experience of, oh, sorry, I didn't scroll down for you. Here's source number 6. It's Mechilta Rabbi Yishmael. Of the warmth and the light that we have of the fire. So this is one of the lessons that we have of the fire. And I think we take it all together with the psukim, and we combine it with this idea of we need to get close to enjoy the fire experience. And we're going to take this fire experience to be a symbol for our lives of what does it mean for us, right? How, if Hashem wants to reveal himself through fire, it's showing us that this is a way that we can connect to Hashem. And I take it as a sort of a parable, which we'll see as well in source number 7. It's taken as a mashal, as a parable of ways that we can have a fire experience, right, in our lives. We don't really necessarily want to light up a huge fire on top of a mountain and say, wow, I feel God's presence, right? We're not going to create that. That's Hashem revealing himself to us. But we want to have these fire moments, right? We're going to use that as a phrase in this year. We want to have these fire experiences, these wow moments that we're exposed to, that we're revealed to. And the question is if we're going to be open to them. So I don't know if you want to also chime in here. I'll give a few examples, and I'm happy to hear some other thoughts from you. Please feel free to share of some experience that we might have that we see and we say, wow, we're inspired. Perhaps we're even in awe. Perhaps we have fear, but we're moved by it, right? Some examples that I could think of is perhaps going to an inspirational concert. Music can move people. It can be a real spiritual moving experience. Bezrat Hashem, the birth of a child, a grandchild, celebrating a bar mitzvah, a wedding, can be a really moving experience that can be inspiring, that can feel Hashem is with me here. I feel a sense of movement happening in my soul from this experience. It could be in nature, it could be a beautiful trek in the mountains, and it could also be a moving shir that we hear. It could be going to see a mashas and seeing all the people, right? Isn't that like a Mama Har Sinai experience? Celebrating Torah after learning for 7.5 years, this amazing Kabbalah Torah, this celebration. There's so many experiences that we can have that are these fire moments that we feel moved, we feel some clarity, perhaps some greater life purpose, conviction, connection to Hashem, right? And the world shines a little bit brighter. So I invite you to think of your own personal fire moments. So you don't have to share them here if you don't want to. Fire moments that perhaps you've experienced in your life. And hold on to them during the shiur, because hopefully it'll resonate the more that we continue and talk here. If we look in source number 7, the Gemara in Tani, we have our source that tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, he's saying, you know, why is Torah compared to fire? Right? We've established that. We saw that in the Psukim. So now we see in the Gemara, they're going to ask the same question. Why is Torah compared to fire? Right? As it says, and he quotes a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Hello, kol devari ke'esh ni'um Hashem. And the pasuk continues, "Chapatish yifotzetz sela." Is not my word like fire? Right? Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, "Ukapatish yifotzetz sela." And like a hammer smacking against a mountain is the word of God. So it's interesting, and this happens a lot of times when we're learning, and you see in Gemara and many sources, they'll quote a pasuk, but they'll call it the first half of the pasuk. And it's really significant to look up the original pasuk, because sometimes the second half of the pasuk will give us even more of a message than the first half, right? Why in here, in this Gemara, did Rabbi Bar Bar Chana decide to choose this pasuk? He could have quoted a pasuk from one of our sources, 1 through 5, about Mamar Sinai, or about the Nebo Er that talk about Torah is like fire, right? But after this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, so what do we see from here? We'll see his lesson, and then we'll understand. What does he learn? What's the meaning he takes? He says, "Lamar lecha," to explain to teach you, "Ma'esh eino dolek yichidi," just like fire doesn't really spontaneously light up. Usually, in most normal circumstances, as far as we know, fire, right? After Torah in mitzkayim in biyichidi, we're not meant to just sit alone, isolated, and learn Torah for ourselves. Fire is something that's meant to be lit up, and you cause something, someone else, to be lit up by the fire. Right, if it's in the olden days in the caveman, you've got the flint, you're scraping rocks together maybe to make a fire. But you need a match. To strike a match, you light a fire, right? You need something, another element to create the fire. So that's perhaps our answer why this pasuk was chosen in Yirmiyahu, Do you see that? Because what happens when you strike a hammer on a rock? What can you imagine the metal banging into the rock, right? You can always write on the chat. I'm trying to check it simultaneously if anybody wants to write in at any time. But what do you imagine happening when you hit the hammers hitting the rock? Anybody want to write there? Right? Imagine it would give sparks, right? It sparks. There's a fire. But it's not the way he's talking about a fire and this all-consuming fire of Hashem. But here, in Rabbi Barachana wants to tell us, it's connected to a teacher teaching Torah to somebody else. And it's just giving a spark. Because really, we're already lit up. We want to be excited. We want to learn Torah, but we need to learn it from somebody else. Right? Fire doesn't ignite alone. Right? In a lone pile of kindling, it doesn't light up alone. So Torah shouldn't be retained just for one individual. If someone is a Talmid Chacham and learns a lot of Torah, right? He has a chiv to share with the world, to teach the world his Torah or her Torah. Right? We're meant to share Torah. We're meant to ignite other people. Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Sparks. Yes. To spark someone, to light someone up, to ignite passion and excitement in Torah in somebody else. That's part of the message why the Torah is compared to fire in our Source 7 in Gemara and Tani, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is teaching us. Because it's meant to light us up. So this idea of seeing Hashem bring himself in fire, and Torah is compared to fire, it's to teach us a lesson. And this is one lesson the Gemara is showing us. Right? This is how we think. We see the text, we see the psukim, and then we want to make it real for our lives. Well, what does it mean to me? And this is one very important message, just as Amira was saying, to go to a shir, to listen. And when you have a chavrusa also, the two people, you can spark each other up. You can excite each other in what you're learning. You can ignite each other with what you're getting involved in, and the fire gets bigger. So this is a very powerful lesson. And then we see in the continuation of the Gemara on the same page, it's a few sections later on the same daf in Gemara, we have the Torah compared to another element. So if you've already peeked, or if you want to guess, anybody want to guess another thing that Torah can be compared to or is compared to? There are many things, but this is one major one we're going to focus on as well today. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chana. Water. Yes, Torah is compared to water. Water. Why do you think water? Anyone throw out an idea? Water. When we think of water, especially this last week in the heat, what do we think of water? I have a glass of water just in case. It flows. Thank you. The Torah flows. Beautiful. Water gives life. Yes, we need water to survive. We're made of what? 75% water, 80% water? Needs to love. Beautiful. Water flows. It gives life. We need it. We need it to live. We need it for love. I don't know if I need an explanation. But yes, we need water, right? Have they called Tameh L'chula Mayim? Whoever is thirsty should go to water, or the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Rabbi Chanina Bar-Idi, right, in the continuation in source number 7, tells us, Lama Nivshala Devei Torah L'mayim, why is Torah compared to water? As it tells us, whoever is thirsty should go to water, should go to drink. Beautiful, we can't live without water as we can't live without Torah. Completely, completely. And the goal is here to heighten our recognition, because I feel like we can say these things, we know them, but it doesn't mean we necessarily feel them or internalize them or do them. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, right? I know this, but I've had a day go by when I haven't learned Torah. I'm sorry to say. It's happened. Thank you. We need the Torah to grow. Feed us. Yes, the Torah feeds the soul. Beautiful. Mikvah. Yes. Mayim Mitarim. Yes. Beautiful. Yes, the power of water. So Torah is compared to water. As it says here, we have an interesting explanation given here in the Gemara and Tani. What do we learn from water? So here we have beautiful things. We need water to live. We need water to clean. Yes, I didn't see that also Harvey wrote. Water cleans, purifies. It's a mikvah. We have all these beautiful associations with water, and hopefully we'll keep those because they're all true. They're all right. In this particular source, the Gemara Tani, we have Rabbi Chanina Bar-Idi tells us, why is water compared to Torah? Just as water leaves a high place and flows down, it always goes from a higher place to a lower place. So too, Torah can survive, can be mitzkayim in somebody who's humble. There's a certain sense of humility associated with water. A certain humility. It's an interesting word to think about, to ponder the sort of humility. Water descends from the heavens. Beautiful. Isn't that interesting that fire generally goes up to the heavens and the water comes down? There's a lot to think about with the water and fire. Beautiful, thank you. And this idea here in Dharmarantani, it brings in that, you know, water flows, as you said, it flows and always flows down. It always goes to the humble source. And we need a certain sense of humility in learning Torah. It's perhaps when we think of our Torah experience at Har Sinai and the fire and the awe and the wow, inspiring experience in Har Sinai, let's think for a minute about the water, what we're saying here, it flows from high to low. There's a certain reference to humility. You're a humble person. It's perhaps less exciting, even though we can imagine white water rapids and other exciting water elements. We're going to stay here. Beautiful, promotes growth. Yes. We're going to think here about growth happens step by step, right? Growth happens little by little. Water is something that drips and drips and drinks. We drink one cup and then we need another cup later, a few hours later. We're thirsty again. Isn't that right? We're thirsty again for another cup of water, even though, but didn't you drink 3 hours ago? Yeah, but I just came back. It's boiling hot outside. Of course I need another cup of water, right? We're supposed to drink how many cups of water a day? 8 cups of water a day? We continually need water to survive, to be healthy. So for that growth, we need the water on a regular basis. It's perhaps a more simple form of our Torah, but it's the thing that keeps us alive. It's a thing that we really grow from is the day-to-day. And that's going to be the message we're going to see from the Torah of water. And we're going here now to part two, the waters of Horeb. We had the fires of Sinai and we have the waters of Horeb. Can anybody think of a water experience? I've kind of given it away a little bit if you look at the sources, but if you think of water experiences that we had in the Midbar, there's two that happened. You could chime it in if it pops in your head. There's two water experiences that happen right before, really, the story of Mamad Har Sinai. Before the big fire experience, we actually have water first. Okay, we'll look in sources number 8 and 9. Source number 8, Shmot, Perek Tzed Vav, right? We're leaving from the Yamsuf. Vayisam Moshe et Yisrael miYamsuf. It's really the beginning of our journey from Mitzrayim, the Yamsuf. Vayitzu Midbar Shur Vayechu Shloshet Yamim. We go 3 days towards Midbar Shur. Oh, thank you. We also have Miriam's well. Yes, that was a gift from Hashem, Bezchut Miriam, to always have with us the water. That's a whole other shir we can discuss, and that's beautiful. And that's what you associate. Yes, the bitter waters. Exactly, Mara. Thank you, the bitter water. Thank you, Chana. It's source number 8, this idea we have the water. We've traveled 3 days, and we have no water to drink. And we come Marata, and Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'lo yachol lishtot mayim. We couldn't drink the water. Because it was bitter, mimara, mai mimara ki marim heim. Akein karash mamara, we call the place Mara. And we complain to Moshe, and we say, what can we drink? There's no water. We call out to Hashem. Hashem says, pasuk chafei, vashlachem hamayim, vayim tiku hamayim, will sweeten the water, so you can drink it. And then pasuk chavav, this is going to be significant, pasuk chavav, vayom ra'im shemola tishma l'kol Hashem, if you listen to the voice of Hashem, elokecha vayishar beinav taseh, ve'ezat le'mitzvotav, you should listen to the mitzvot, v'shamarta kol. Sorry, source number 8. Sorry, v'shamarta kol chukav kol ha-machala, asher santi b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. Hashem is teaching us connected with the water is this idea of following the Torah, right? Keeping the mitzvot. Just as we said, the water is a day-to-day experience. So we have it embedded within the story, this idea of listen to the voice of Hashem, follow the mitzvot, follow the chukim, right? It'll protect you. It'll keep you healthy. As we said, we need water to live. Hashem is telling us, this water will keep you healthy. So chalil, we won't have the machalot from Mitzrayim. So here in the psukim itself, before we go into other sources, the psukim themselves are telling us, water will keep you healthy. Torah will keep you healthy. Torah will give you life. Torah will give you life. And we'll see in source number 9, the Midrash Tanhuma. So we see that. So now how does the Midrash take us? Does anybody know about... Oh, interesting. I don't know. That's interesting. Water is wine from heaven. Beautiful. It is. It's a miracle. We know that we rely on Hashem for the rain, right? And that's different than Mitzrayim when we have the water there in the Nile. We dafka have to ask Hashem for rain. There's definitely a lot about connecting to Hashem. I see what you're writing, Devorah, about the idea of in Israel. Perhaps that's interesting. I don't know about the deep sources of water, But there's definitely, we daven for rain here more than other places where there's natural water sources. Hashem wants us to connect to the idea of we need rain, we need water, to remind us really when we're connected to Torah, it's telling us you need water, you need Torah. You need Torah. And the Midrash Tanchuma, that's the message that we get. How do we establish that we need to read from the Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos? It comes from this story. We went 3 days without water in the story of Mara in source number 8 in Perek Tet Vav of Shmot. Because we went 3 days without water, I mean, no, water is Torah. The Tanchuma in source number 9 tells us in the underlying part, oh, sorry, I didn't underline it. I underlined it in my notes. Korin, in the last two lines, Korin b'Shabbat, u'mafsikin achad b'Shabbat. Korin b'Sheni, u'mafsikin shlishi v'Revi. We take a pause, okay? We don't read from Torah shlishi v'Revi, but we need to get a chamishi. We have a few days without water, without Torah, and we're feeling, oh, I'm missing it. I'm disconnected. I need to learn. I need to have Torah in my life. We can't go 3 days without Torah. And that's how Chazal established that we learn. We read from the Torah every 3 days. V'lo yiyu, the last phrase in source number 9, Torah. We need the Torah every 3 days. We need the Torah to keep us going, right? And the water, it's like we said, it's this day-to-day. It's a day-to-day thing we need. We need to keep our chavrusa one day and have a shir a different day and learn a perek tehillim a different day. We need to keep the Torah going. We need it. We learned this from Am Yisrael in the Midbar. Chazal learned it for us, and we still do it today for this reason. We shouldn't go 3 days without Torah. Now we move on to the next story in source number 10 in Me'meriva. We also have this story of water. Again, we're looking for water, but there's going to be an interesting element here in the search for water. In source number 10, Shmot Perek Yud Zayin. We're really just two prekim before Shmot Yud Tet is the Ma'amad Har Sinai story. And the parak before is with Yitro coming. It's even before. So it's really juxtaposed. This is really just before the Har Sinai experience is this story in source number 10, the story of Me'meriva. And that's very significant. What happens? We're traveling from Midbar Sin. We're going out Pi Hashem, right? The Ma'amud Esh Amud Anan, how Hashem tells us to travel. That's how we travel. And we camp in Refidim in Pasuk Aleph. Vayechanu b'Refidim. Ve'ein mayim l'shtot ha'am. And there's no water. And again, we go to Moshe and we complain in Pasuk Bet. We say, Tenu lanu mayim. Give us water so we could drink. And Moshe is frustrated with us. Vayitzmasha ma'am l'mayim. And Pasuk Yomo, we're thirsty for water. And what does Hashem tell Moshe he needs to do? Where does he need to go with this Canaan? In Pasuk Hey, Hashem tells to Moshe, go avor the fnei ha'am, right? All the nation will see you going. And there's a lot of symbolism there about why Moshe has to take the same mateh used on the Yor for the Makot and Mitzrayim. We're not gonna go off there. And go. And where is he gonna go? They're in Refidim. Where are they going to? Look at Pasuk Vav. Hinini omeh lefanecha sham. I am standing there. Al hatsur b'choriv. Where's Choriv? What's it referring to, Choriv? We know from other places, Choriv is Har Sinai. Hashem tells Moshe, go to Choriv, go to Har Sinai, the place I'm about to reveal myself in fire, and go there, and from there I'm going to give you water. Water is going to come forth from where? From Sinai. Yafeh. We need the water of Torah, perhaps, to show us how not to be consumed. Beautiful. Thank you, Mimi. There's definitely, it works together. And that's what we're hoping to see, this sort of synthesis. The synthesis here of fire and water. That's what we're going to get to, Bezrat Hashem, as we're going to bring this together, right? We need the water and the fire to work together. Thank you so much for your comment. This scene, the very scene of Kabbalat HaTorah, which we're about to get to, just before that, Hashem says, you know what? I want to teach you something important. Before I show you myself in the form of fire, this manifestation of Hashem, I want to teach you that water comes from it. In the day-to-day life, I'm going to give you water. In the day-to-day life, we need a connection to Torah. And that's a very powerful message. powerful message that we have, that we need the water in the day-to-day. We need the synthesis, as we're saying, in the day-to-day. Let's see that in the synthesis. In source number three, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Right, we know Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, he was lived in Germany in the 1800s. It's very significant that he's telling us this as he dealt with the Reform movement and he really established contemporary Orthodoxy. Orthodox Judaism, is, as we know it, is really very much connected to the works of Rav Hirsch. So how appropriate that he's telling us this message, how to synthesize these sort of fire experiences, including Har Sinai. But he's going to say it's not limited to Har Sinai. That's just the actual model of a fire experience. These inspiring fire experiences can also be other experiences, as we gave some examples of. So Rav Hirsch tells us here in source number 11, Yetziat Mitzrayim v'kriyat Yamsuf haru liYisrael me'ata v'ad olam. From now and forever, these experiences of Yetziat Mitzrayim, Exodus of Egypt, right, splitting of the sea, showed us me'ata v'olam, from now and forever, et kirvat Hashem hamyuchedet v'regaim yuchadim b'minam. They show us, just like Mama Har Sinai showed us, this intense closeness to Hashem in these special moments, right? And that's emphasized here. We have these moments of intense inspiration, of intense feeling Hashem, of feeling Hashem's presence with us. These moments can happen. Right, we would call these fire experiences, like leaving Mitzrayim. It would be a fire experience, or Kriyat Yam Suf and feeling the Shechina with us. And we say, Zei Liva Anveya, we keep point to Hashem, we feel Hashem with us. So that's kind of a fire experience in our nomenclature we're using in this year. So we have those experiences. We have those moments in our lives where we say, wow, I'm so inspired. I feel Hashem. Wow. Right? But that's not enough. What does Rav Hirsch continue to tell us? Right? We'll skip a few lines. We say Torah Zo in the underlying part. Torah Zo, HaMitzvah Ala Adam La'avodet Hashem B'chol Rega'ei Chayav HaYom Yomim. And it's interesting to note that this Rav Hirsch is on Shmot Tedvav, on the story of a water story, as on the Mara story, right? On Shmot Tedvav, he's telling us we need those day-to-day moments. Those water moments is what we need to feel Hashem, to experience Hashem. And we do that from our learning Torah. We do that from learning one parak of Nachyomi, from reading one Mizmor Tehillim on a bus, from learning to halachot over dinner, from having a chavrusa with a friend, right? Reading a tzaddik story over Shabbos lunch, listening to a shir with, you know, your headphones while you're washing dishes or you're driving in the car. These are the water moments that we need. The zirgei chayav hayom yomim.
I could only hear him on the phone.
These day-to-day moments, these water moments, is what we need. La'avod et Hashem, to be an eved Hashem, to serve Hashem in this way. We need the water. We need the water. And this is really what the synthesis of the fire and the water, I think, is trying to teach us. We have our inspired moments. We have the fire moments. But we have the day-to-day water, which is what we need to consume on a regular basis. And we're going to quickly go over this story, which most of us are familiar with, this story from Avot Rabbi Natan of Rabbi Akiva, right? This beautiful Rabbi Akiva story when he was 40 years old and he sees the water dripping on the rock, right? And he says, "What? How could this be? Who carved the rock?" And they told him, Amrulo, it's the water that drips on it b'chol yom, every day, every day. That's the water that makes the difference, right? It's not going to be a huge, you know, gallons and gallons of water. One waterfall for one day on a rock is not going to make a hole in the rock. It's the drip, drip, drip. It's the one parak and another parak. It's one pasuk. It's one chavrusa. It's one at a time, at a time. That's what is going to make the difference. That's what's going to make our difference. For Rabbi Akiva, that was his inspiration. He looked in nature and he was inspired. He was inspired. He learned the Kal V'Chomer for himself. And he says, just like water can do this, right? So the words of Torah can affect me. He said, Torah is even harder and stronger than water. It's like Barzel. It's like iron. It could affect me. And it could enter into my heart. That's Basar V'Dam, right? It's soft. So he did a Kal V'Chomer on himself. And he said, okay, I'm going to take a lesson from this. He had this experience of inspiration, this moment that he saw. I said, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to take my inspiration And wow, what does he do? Miyad chazar lemo Torah. He goes with his son, right, and they go to the Malamde Tinoko, the gananet, who's teaching the Aleph Bet. And he goes and he's holding on, Barosh HaLuach, and Bono Barosh HaLuach, and they learn Aleph one day, and they learn Bet the next day. And slowly, slowly, they learn Aleph Bet until, wow, Rabbi Akiva becomes Rabbi Akiva. That's so humbling, right? He had to be so humble in order to do this. He had the humility of the water. As we said, it goes from Makom Gavol to Makom Namuch. Rabbi Akiva had such humility, and he also had the ability to be inspired. And that's what our goal is, to be able to be inspired and have the humility to do something and to do it day by day in the form of water. And we're going to see that as we wrap up our shir. The Rambam tells us, you know, some people can have these inspiring experiences all the time, right? Notitz lanu ha'emet, we have the emet, the truth, right? A revelation of Hashem could be so clear to us. It could sparkle, right? You have the word notitz, which of course reminds us of fire, right? Can light up for us. And sometimes, you know, it just passes by and we don't do anything. And then you have people who are like Nevi'im, that it could be hivrik lo pa machat b'cholelo, only one time you can have that something lights up, that you have this fire experience and you're excited and inspired, and it could affect you forever. Who are we going to be like? Are we going to be like people who have lots of inspiring experiences all the time? Oh, I'm inspired. Are we going to have it affect us? Are we going to have it continue to be held up and continue with the water? That's the question, right? Hashem revealed himself in this water, in this fire element to show us a message. We have inspiration and we need the water to keep us going. We have the water at Sinai, at Chorev, that we need to live. We need on a daily basis, and we need to be inspired by the fire as well. We need to have that synthesis of the two. And this is what Netivot Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, the modern Hasidus, is telling us in source number 14. We're just going to read the last two lines. He's talking about Sefirat HaOmer, and he says, we have this great revelation of Hashem on Pesach. Halavai, we really felt like we left Mitzrayim. We just left Egypt. We had Kriyat Yam Suf. We felt Hashem with us on Leil Pesach, on the first night of Pesach. And then there's darkness again. There was great light. He talks about this great light. You have these times of He'ara, of light, in source number 14. And then you have the darkness. And in the dark times, you have Sefirat HaOmer, but we have to count day by day. We learn about the Chesed, we learn about Gvura and Tiferet, and we learn about Yisod and Malchut, and we work on our Midot, and we do day by day the water, and we build ourselves up to once again prepare ourselves to get ready for Shavuot, which is where we are now. We're getting ready for Shavuot, for another light experience, another fire experience. He talks about this duality exactly now in our scenario. We have these moments of light, of fire, which we need to prepare for, to be able to receive. And then we have to build up slowly in the Yemei Hashichut, in the dark days. And the last two lines in source number 14 that are underlined for you, V'atafki chalish yudi, the job of us, v'kol isha yudiya, and every Jewish man and woman, hu l'achin l'hazmanim hagdolim. We have to prepare ourselves for these big moments, these fire experiences. Netivot Shalom is adding for us, in addition to the birth of our first grandchild, and a beautiful trek in the mountain, and these Yisim HaShas, also the Chagim are these fire moments. These Chagim are fire experiences that we want to be feeling. We want to be experiencing them. So he tells us, Tatafkid Shalish Yudi, right? Lachin Lazmanim Magdolim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'ir Lo, to prepare for these times that Hashem will light up for him. Lazmanim HaChashichim, for these darker times. V'yamei HaGalut Me'irim Et Yamei HaKatnut. These fire experiences should light up the dark days, should keep with us the humble days when we're just listening to a shiur here and there, we're learning a little bit, we're keeping connected to Torah in the darker days, in the plain days, in the humble days. Be'ezrat Hashem, that should be, that we should continue and have the fire stay with us. We're going to end with our last source from Mayana Shel Torah, a source that we have actually from Poland, who is unfortunately, very sadly, Alexander Joshua Friedman, and he was killed in a death camp in 1943. And we have his Torah. It was originally written in Yiddish, and we have his Torah, and he tells us like this. In every generation, b'chol dor, b'chol eit, b'chol adam, in every person, in every moment, we have this idea of Kabbalah HaTorah. the potential for Kabbalah HaTorah. If somebody is excited, is inspired, is motivated, im adam mitorer pa'am, one time, v'nitzkaf ratzon v'hitzlahavut. Hitzlahavut is like the lehava, the flames, right? You have this fire experiences to Torah, to Yahadu, to Judaism. Then that becomes harei zo az kabbalat Torah shelo. That becomes your personal kabbalat haTorah. That is your Torah experience. Shehu atzmo chash v're'oto, that you yourself see. Right? Those moments, right? We said the fire could just be a few moments. The water is what we need to be all the time. Those few moments, they often can be forgotten. They're quickly forgotten. And that's why the Torah tells us in Devarim Perek Dalet, from our source in the very beginning of the Shir, Hishamer lecha pen tishkach et hadvarim asher re'u einecha. Be careful that you shouldn't forget these things. These, what your eyes saw in Mamad Har Sinai, you be careful that you remember them. Right? We'll take you back for 1 minute in our source. Remember those experiences. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu told us then. And we keep with us now. That we have to keep them with us so that we don't forget them. So that we have them before us and present. Right? The Dor Midbar wasn't there and Moshe was telling them, okay, remember what your eyes saw. Even then, in the Psukim, in Devarim, right? It wasn't relevant then even. Because we hadn't seen it then. Sorry, it's in source number 3 here. Right? Pen tishkach et hadvarim asher re'u einecha. Don't forget what your eyes saw in Devarim Dalet Pasuk Tet. Even in Devarim, it wasn't what they actually saw. Most of the people there hadn't experienced Har Sinai. It's the next generation coming into Eretz Yisrael. So we see here this idea of fire and water. And I give us all a bracha as we prepare for Har Sinai, Mamad Har Sinai, that Bezrat Hashem, may our daily lives be filled with life-giving Torah. May it flow from us and towards us in our humility, in our humble moments, in our day-to-day life of water. And may we be continually inspired by our moments of revelation. Thank you so much. Chodesh Tov.